everyone here. Glad you're here in the house of the Lord. Amen. Brother Hook and I have been friends for probably 30 years. Amen. Since he came to Wisconsin. And we've gone on trips together. We've gone to Arizona a couple of times together. Gone to the White House in Washington, D.C. together. It was an experience. Went to South Milwaukee together once. Amen. And he's pastored a wonderful church in Waukesha for years, and now he's brother and sister Hook are living in Tennessee. You can tell the accent is already kicked in. Amen. And I'm not sure if he's retired or retread, but I don't think preachers ever retire. And I haven't seen any unless they've lost their head, you know, like Paul. But there's something within us that says, I've got to preach the word of God. Amen. Amen. And Brother Portman said this morning, is that when you accumulate all of this information through study and many times memorization, it's just got to come out, you know. That first Bible study that I taught, I fasted for 3 days, and I must have worked on that first lesson for 2 weeks, and just barely got through it. God had mercy. But then the latest Bible studies, I have so much information and experience that I have to make sure that I don't go over the time limit, because I've got to tell them about this, and I've got to tell them about that. And you know, that's how you know if you're still saved, when you got to tell somebody about the goodness of God. Amen. So would you welcome Brother Hook to this pulpit? Amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. It's good to be with you this evening. And if you could give me where I can hear myself, I preached pretty hard this morning. Thank you. That sounds good. I was in Waukesha this morning, a church I pastored better than 30 years. And it was weird not being the pastor. But my sweet wife, I want to thank all of you that have prayed for her through the years. She's a walking miracle. I thank you for that. I've been so blessed in this service already tonight to see Janelle up here leading the choir, baptized her when she was 8 years old. To see Eric up here when I pastored her when she was a teenager. Boy, I'm glad she's singing in the choir now. Such fond memories. And then, as your pastor said, we've had some great times together. I should tell off on him, but I don't know if I will or not. I love having too much fun. Some of y'all don't look like y'all like having fun. I love to have fun. But do y'all know your pastor sleepwalks? Yeah. No, we were in Phoenix. We went out there to play golf for a while, and I'm kidding. We just sat up most of the night talking about the Lord. And I thought to myself, I'm going to get up here and say, where are you going, brother? Amen. Put your clothes on at least before you go outside, you know. So, nah. Love Brother and Sister Schumacher, Pastor and Sister Schumacher. I love the Portmans as well. They're the sweet people. Thank God for godly leadership, huh? Amen. Amen. No, we are not retired. We have been in 21 churches in the last 7 months. Been in 6 states. I have seen more miracles in the last 6 months than I saw in 30 years in pastoring. And we have a great church in Waukesha, but God has released something in my spirit. God don't waste not a trial you've been through. Anybody hear what I just said? There's not a trial that's went through that you went through that God's going to waste. But if you'll let it, it'll be a blessing to your life. And so I promise you tonight that I want to be a blessing and encouragement to this great church and worshiping church. And I love the spirit of worship and praise. And God's answering prayer. This morning, my daughter, who's been backslid for 5 years, was in church with me and all my grandchildren. So I'm going to tell somebody something. Don't ever give up. Don't ever quit praising God. Even the valley gets dry and the sun gets to parching you, keep praising Him. Keep worshiping Him. And so Sister Hook and I are glad to be here tonight. I'd have her come up, but she... it's okay. I'm going to turn your attention this evening to the book of Romans, chapter number 4. I want to talk about following the divine flow of God, the divine channel. Is there anybody besides me in this room believes there is a divine flow that this church can stay in? I feel it in here. But there is nothing, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And that we are well able to overcome in Jesus' name. Romans chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. An audio visual, I say the next verse, just put it up there, okay? Because I may get going faster and my brain will work, okay? Romans chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead and called those things which be not as though they were. Sister Hook and I have been claiming in Jesus' name that our daughter's coming back. We have wept many a tear and we've seen her weeping tears this morning. I praise God. Don't you give up. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. I am not a Jew by blood, but I am a spiritual Jew in the Holy Ghost. And I claim the birthright of what Jesus said for those that believe in Jesus Christ. It has been imputed into us for righteousness' sake. You are a child of God. You're an heir of God. You've got a right to lift your voice and to shout unto the Lord tonight. You've got a right because you've been blood bought. You've been forgiven. And you serve a God even greater than Abraham even recognized and realized. You know Him in the power of His resurrection and in the power of the Holy Ghost. So tonight, I want to talk to you about flowing or following the divine channel. Praise God. Amen. How many of you have ever been in that channel where you know you're in the perfect will of God? I want everyone to leave here tonight in the perfect divine channel of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. There were some great patriarchs and great men of faith sprinkled throughout the Old Testament, New Testament, but you never read about Moses, as great as he was, he's never called Father Moses. You read about David, as great of a king as he was, of great of repentance, as he wrote the book of Psalm 51 in his prayer of repentance, but he's never called Father David. Elijah, Elisha, as you could go down the weeping prophet of Jeremiah, you can look at all the great men of God of the Old Testament. You could even look at even men of the New Testament who were greatly used of God and apostles of God, but nobody has been called the father of the faithful like Abraham. So it caught my attention then in this hour of 2019, I'd like God to say about his church, them people have birthed faithfulness in their hearts. And I want God to leave here tonight saying, I was willing to follow his divine flow and his divine direction. Now, what is it that made Abraham such a different person or character or individual in the scripture was, well, I the best analogy I could draw for you would be to tell you that Abraham basically got in his wagon, whatever he got in, didn't have any GPS, didn't have a Garmin, if you know what that is. He didn't have any Google Maps. And God said, where am I going? He said, well, you'll know when you get there. Most of us like to know where we're going. Can I get a witness in the house? Most of us like to know before we ever start out, but it'd be kind of weird if I got in the car tonight and where are we going? I don't know. Well, know when I get there, you know, but that's what God was basically saying to Abram, to Abraham, and he's saying, okay, I want you to leave behind the things that is common to you and the things that are familiar to you, and I want you to go to a place that I'll tell you when you get there. I don't know if you're going right now to Mesopotamia. I don't know if you're going to Syria. I don't know if you're going to Greece. I know this one thing. I want you to get out of the current place that you're in, and if you'll leave where you're at and leave the familiar surroundings, I promise you, when you get there, I'm going to bless you. You know, every time God has challenged me to step out in faith in everything that anything that I've ever done, it's risky. When I came to Wisconsin in 1989, it was like, okay, God, where am I going to this foreign country? It snows. They put salt on the road. Your cars rust out. I've never seen that. And I want you to go take a small little group of people, and I want you to leave a established church doing well for yourself. The building's paid for. You don't have anything to worry about. I want you to go to Wisconsin, and I want you to build a church, and I want you to step out of your comfort zone. Actually, back at that time, I had people tell me, you must be really drunk. Pastor's talking about that tonight. You must be messed up real bad to come to Wisconsin because the South is so familiar. Pentecost is everywhere. When I went to Wisconsin, when I came to Waukesha, I couldn't find nobody that even looked Pentecostal. I went to the Brookfield Mall, one of the first things I did 31 years ago, and I said, is there anybody that even looks apostolic in this area? I sat there for 4 hours, and I didn't even see anybody that even familiarized herself of even looking like they were apostolic. But I promise you this, that when God places you somewhere and you go in the divine providence of God, he will go with you wherever he has directed you to go. So Abraham was that individual, that man that had a towering trust of God. And he said, okay, God, I'm willing to leave the familiar. I'm willing to leave my family. I'm willing to leave the circumstances and come. And so when we came here 30-some years ago, it was simply that. Just Sister Hook and I, none of our family. Of course, I brought my oldest daughter. And then, of course, Ashley was born here 27 years ago. But I said, okay, God, I believe you are able to take care of me. And I kept teaching Bible studies, kept baptizing people. People kept leaving. People kept going. I kept teaching Bible studies over 30 years and baptized 2,000 people in 30 years. I'm not saying that braggadociously. I'm just saying if you're going to win the lost, you have got to continue to be faithful even when it don't feel good, even when it don't look good, even when nobody's patting you on the back, even when nobody's praising you. You got to keep doing what's right anyhow. That's why I worship Him tonight when I don't feel like it. I sing when I don't feel like it. I preach when I don't feel like it. I go to church when I don't feel like it. I do everything. I pray when I don't feel like it. I do everything when I don't feel like it. Don't you go to work when you don't feel like it? I promise you do. Anybody besides me ever been to work and you didn't feel like it? Man, have I ever been to hospitals and prayed for people through the years and I didn't feel nothing? I was worn out. I didn't have my Superman cape on. They didn't get up out of the bed. They didn't rise and walk. I just went and done what God was expecting me to do. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, and believe God. And God is faithful. Do you still preach faith when you don't see the evidence of it? Faith is not faith until it's tested and tried. You know my sweet wife, she's only been in the nursing home 3 times. Doctor said she would never walk. Doctor said she'd never be able to fix her hair again. Doctor said this, doctor said that. But she's still walking. And so the devil would like to tell me, you can't preach healing, you can't preach faith, you can't preach miracles, you can't preach signs and wonders, you can't preach the Father, the faithful, and you cannot practice that. I'm here to tell you in the name of Jesus Christ, you got to step out by faith and say, I don't have a GPS for this. I am going to follow God. Somebody needs to step out by faith tonight and say, okay, God, I don't need a GPS. I don't need to know where my final direction is going to be. But I know if I trust you and follow you, everything is going to be all right. Now watch this. Watch what God says, okay? When you look at the blessing of Genesis chapter 12 in verse 1 through 3. Notice what God says. If you want to write these down, they're easy. Just copy them out of your scripture. But here's what He says. I will show you a land. I will point you in a direction. And I promise you, amen, when you get to that land, I'm going to give you a place that you would never imagine. Of course, they're still squabbling over today. But I promise you, when you get there, Abram, amen, you're going to have a land, amen, that maybe nobody else don't want. Maybe your nephew wants the well-watered plains. But I promise you, when you get there, God's going to give you the possession of the land, and God's going to give you the land, and God said it, and I believe it, and I'm going to prophesy to you in the name of Jesus. God has given you guys this city, and you need to stand on that word. God's given you victory in this city, so stand on it. Has God ever told you anything? If He's ever told you, why don't you just stand on His word and say, I believe God and I'm going to follow the divine channel of the Lord. Therefore, I will give you the land. It's the first thing He said. Then He said, I will make you a great nation. Man. I'm going to make you a great nation. Praise God. I mean, I'd like to know that leaving here tonight, God, I can't control what's going to happen in Waukesha. I just got to believe God's going to take care of everything. I can't fix everybody's problem, I can't change nobody's mind. But one thing I can do, I can be faithful like Abraham. I can stand for God. I can live for God. Come on, I want to talk to somebody for just a minute. It doesn't matter what your neighbor does behind you or back in front of you. You got to make up your mind. I'm walking the walk. I'm keeping on picking my feet up. I'm going to keep praising God. I'm going to keep worshiping God. I'm going to keep magnifying the Lord. And I will do what's right. And God will make a great people out of you. And then He said, I will bless you. Pastor Schumacher has already walked all over this tonight. Anybody believe you're blessed coming in, you're blessed going out? Hallelujah. Thank God we still got some old-fashioned people like he and I. Amen. I wouldn't give up on my Sunday night service. I still won't give up on Sunday night because I promise you, this is not a paid advertisement tonight. I promise you, the closer we get to the rapture, the more we need to be in the house of the Lord. Preach on. Hallelujah. You say, I'm tired, I'm fatigued. I am too, but I still get up and I put one foot in front of the other and say, hey, I am blessed. Our parents and our grandparents worked way harder than we did manually. You know the revival my dad got the Holy Ghost in right when he come back from World War II in 1946? Was a tent revival that lasted 3 months and they had church every night. And the night he got the Holy Ghost, there were what was then now going to be 4 United Pentecostal pastors got the Holy Ghost the same night, but they were just 21 years old, all of them at the same time, and they put them on the back of the wagon, all talking in tongues all the way home. And every one of them became great leaders in the United Pentecostal Church. I'm here to say this. I'm not trying to be smart, not trying to be ugly, but I want you to know, you didn't start out to get weaker. You start out to get stronger. You got to make up your mind. Come on, somebody ought to praise God with me tonight. Hallelujah. Now, I will make your name great. The fourth thing he said to Abram, I will make your name great. Maybe I could share this with you. I've been to 250 class reunions this year. Graduated in 69. So my dad being a pastor, of course, I started elementary school one place, went to junior high another place, and graduated high school another place. So I went to my class reunion that I actually graduated from high school in Mississippi this year. Well, when I was in high school, you see, because I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, and I didn't dip, and I didn't chew, and I didn't go with the girls that do. Okay, y'all okay? And so in high school, basically, you know, that's one of those weird guys. He don't drink, he don't smoke, he don't do all that other stuff. But, you know, the older you get, it's amazing how popular you get. Is everybody still here? Can I get a witness back there? So as the first few high school reunions we had, well, you know, they were still drinking their beer and booze and stuff. About 25, 30, 35 years in, I've noticed the last three or four reunions, I've noticed every time I go to reunion, instead of Mike being an old outcast, I've noticed all of a sudden something changed as people got older. Can I talk to you young people tonight? If you'll be faithful, I promise you one day people are going to be looking for you. So notice what happened at the 35th class reunion. Here's people lined up and said, well, Mike, you're the guy that believed God could heal. You're the guy that believed God could do miracles. I've got heart disease. I've got cancer. I've got sugar diabetes. And honest to God, before God, they stood in line after the reunion was over with for me to lay hands on them. Come on, somebody. Don't be ashamed to say, I believe God. When you're young, I will praise God. I will go wherever you want me to go. So I just went to our 50th class reunion. I mean, they're dying of cancer. I mean, so they call me, so I go by a girl that graduated me. I go by her house and pray for her for cancer. I promise you, man, when they were in high school and the pom-poms and do all the kind of business, they didn't want Mike praying for nobody. But I promise you, 40 years later, they want a man of God laying hands on them. Do you hear me? Right now on your job, people may say, you're goofy, but when somebody comes down to die, guess who they going to call? Come on, guess who they going to call on? They're going to call on that guy that goes to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, that left. that praises God and that's got his mind stayed upon the Lord. And church is not just a 50-minute in and out thing. So when I come to Wisconsin, what was so cool, I was sitting in Sambo's years ago. It was right down from my old church. It was a Denny's, it was Sambo's first. Remember those big old aquariums they had in there? So I'm sitting in there, and Michaela's with me, and she's just a teenager. And so a guy hears my southern accent, and he says, "Hey, son, what are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, I'm the pastor of the church out here, Apostolic Life Tabernacle." He said, "Oh, yeah, man." He said, "I know all about Apostolic." I said, "Well, you do?" He said to me, "Well," this is kind of funny. It is really funny. He said, "Well, I go to the local Catholic church right over here." And he said, "You know what? I was studying about it." And he said, "My church is just like your church." I said, "Oh, really?" He said, "Yeah, we just had Pentecost Sunday the other Sunday. Folks don't even have a clue what the power." And I said, "Sir, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but you don't have a clue what Pentecost is. Because Pentecost is the power of God and the anointing of the Lord." And guess what? Amen. He said, "I will bless you and I will make a great name of you. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And all the people of the earth will be blessed." Does anybody believe that you can be a part of that covenant that Abraham said, "I will bless the faithful"? So I've been on this journey now. Well, 45 years I've been United Pentecost. I've had the Holy Ghost since I'm 12. I'll be 68 in December. So I've had the Holy Ghost, ever how long that is, 56 years. I've had the Holy Ghost 56 years, and I'm still walking that walk. I'm still picking up one foot in front of the other. I'm still saying, when the report's bad, whose report will I believe? I still get up every morning and say, "God is good." Come on, I'm talking to somebody. I still get up when somebody asks me. I'm blessed, man. I'm a blessed man. You're blessed people. You are not some stepchild. You are not some orphan. You are God's chosen people. Okay. And here's what a word God said to me. Let me tell you something, Apostolic Faith Church. If you've plateaued out in the spirit, then you're not in the divine channel, because you will never plateau out with God. Did you hear what I said? If you get to where you're just coasting along, God will not let you plateau in your spiritual walk. It's always a continual climb. I got to keep climbing. I got to keep going forward, and you will never plateau and you will never reach the pinnacle. You've got to keep striving, keep going, and keep walking like Abraham did and say, "Okay, God, this man left everything. He left what, even his family, and he said, I'll go where you'll have me go." Everybody okay? You know, one thing I have learned, and don't mean this in a negative way, but I have sure tried to change people's lives. But I promise you, when God gets inside your heart and begins to burn your heart and burn the garbage out of your life and burn the impurities out of your life, then your heart will change you from the inside out. How many of you know there's sometimes we got too much junk underneath our lives? I was just in the Smoky Mountains last week, and anybody remember the big fire they had in Gatlinburg 3 years ago? Anybody remember, hear about it? Well, it burned my resort that I have a timeshare. It burned it completely down. But the amazing thing that the Forest Department has done, see, in 1934, when Roosevelt declared the Great Smoky Mountains a national park, they then, you remember Smokey the Bear, you know, put out your campfire and all that good garbage, you know? The problem is that The Smoky Mountains was named for the smoke or the fires that burned or would burn there. I always thought it was the clouds that hung low in the mountains. That's what they call the smoky, but that's not what it's called, Smoky Mountains. I've researched it. I said, man, that's crazy. See, the natives, they would literally, they were firefighters before they were firefighters. They would trench around a certain area because they knew after a period of time that the dead limbs that would fall off, the needles that would fall off the pine tree, the leaves that would fall off the pine tree. Right now on the floor of the Smoky Mountains, there's about 4 foot of undergrowth that since 1934, when President Roosevelt declared it as a national forest, the government now says no burning. So again, what's going to happen is if there ever becomes another drought in that area, there's 4 foot of foliage and trappings underneath those trees that it's about 4 foot deep right now that it should have been cleaned away or were burned away years ago. So 85 years, the government's allowed all those dead limbs and all those all the trees, and that's what happened in California. And the same thing was going on. We're not going to burn, we're not going to clean, or we're not going to burn. But if you ever burn a field over, and that's where it becomes fresh again. And God has to burn in our spirit again the junk around our lives. I'll tell you, there's some stuff that can get into your spirit, some old dead limbs that will try to live underneath your. So when I was there, I went there right after the fire night in 2016. I live close by there now, about 2 hours away. But when I was there this last week, you see the trees that were burned and scorched, they looked awful. It was the ugliest place in the world in 2016. But in 3 years, notice what happened. All the stuff under the bottom got burned away, and a lot of the tree was burned. But now, there's a boy, I got out in the woods and began to walk. He said, hey, Reverend, he said, look up there, you see that tree? Said, look at the top of that tree. Look at those fresh branches that are sprouting out now, because you see that tree can grow now that all the junk is not choking the moisture out. Sometimes we got too many trappings in our life that choke the moisture of the Holy Ghost out. Our schedule. Our lives. I get so busy. I was so busy when I was pastor. I got to do this. I got to do that. But boy, there's nothing more important than getting alone with God and finding time with God and saying, God, I got to follow in your divine direction, and I want to bless you, and I want to put my hand upon your life. And so therefore, God said to me, okay, a few years ago, he said, okay, man, you're not going to do well here if you don't make sure that you pass the baton. And so God's saying, what are you saying, man? I'm doing good. I'm making a great living, man. I'm doing well. Church treats me well, man. I mean, the Lord gave us that building on I-94. It's a miracle. I spoke it in a prophetic word one Sunday morning. We're going to sit on the freeway, and God gave us that hospital right on the freeway. And I loved it. I mean, it's what God. But God said, you can't get comfortable in where you're at. I got something else I want you to do. For everybody, but it sure didn't feel good from the comfort zone. I'm talking to somebody tonight, because we can get comfortable where we're at if we're not careful, and God will not ever let you plateau. And he will also call you to another place of faith and say, God, I'm going to a higher height in faith. I want to be that person, God. I'm willing to leave beside everything else that would hinder me, and I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm going to stand on your word. I'm going to stand on your promises, and I believe you're going to do. Come on, somebody, believe it with me tonight. So when I became bishop of the church and Pastor Ball took over and I prayed for him, God bless him. But I promise you, when this God has opened doors, I am seeing things in the spirit happening in every place that we've been and see what God has done. Because every trial, every test, everything, I've seen blind eyes open. I've seen death, amen, here. I've seen the miraculous take place simply because I had to step out of the familiar to step into the supernatural. Anybody know what panic attacks are? Anybody ever heard of them? I don't know why I feel like going down this rabbit trail, but I feel it in the Holy Ghost. See, back in 1994, they did a heart cath, took my gallbladder out, and so I had severe panic attacks. In fact, I remember Brother Schumacher wasn't there, but it was before Floyd Inquest ever went out of the UPC back at that time. And I was sitting, he and I and two or three more pastors were sitting at a table, and Waukesha come over and had breakfast with me. And I was sitting at the table, and I had a panic attack. And they were all jabbering about, you know, church work and blah, 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 blah. And I said, hey, guys, I got to get out. Have you ever been cornered in when you're having a panic attack? You know what I'm saying? If you've ever had a panic attack, so after a few minutes, I'm sitting in that round corner booth. I'm a lot younger than about 20, 25 years ago. I jump up on the booth, take one step on the table, and boom, I'm out of the restaurant. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me the other day when we were preaching in Indianapolis. The Holy Ghost said to me, there's somebody here that had panic. And I explained exactly what I just said. And somebody's here got a spirit, amen, of panic attacks on you, and God wants to deliver you today. If I had never experienced panic attacks, I couldn't talk about what they can do for you. But I said, here's the thing that you got to do, is you got to also be willing to let go. And I said, there's two people in this church that have a spirit of greed on you, and you won't allow your husband to give to the building program in this church. I had no clue. And I said, that's the reason the panic attacks plague you, because you won't allow your husband to be the leader. Woo! Y'all won't want me to come back anymore, will you? Hallelujah. I think a few of you got that problem in here in this house. Any church would have that problem, I think. But anyway. So as I said that, I said, the Lord spoke to me and said, if you'll reach over to your husband and tell him that this is the offering that we're supposed to give this morning to the church, I said, I promise you, as soon as you do it, God is going to set you free. And I said, the church, you know who I'm talking to, because they're leaders in this church and they suffer from these panic attacks like I have. And I'm not embarrassed to tell you, tonight I suffered from them. And I seen one woman, I knew who she was. I seen her lean over and talk to her husband. And I seen her pull out a whole bunch of money out of her pocket and hand it to her husband. And so I said, okay, I'm going to take up an offering now. Because anytime you have revival, you're going to have sacrifice, right? You got to have a spirit of generosity in the church. If you don't have a spirit of generosity, you can't have revival. There's going to be sacrifice. So whenever I said, okay, Pastor, you going to throw me away? He said, no, whatever you feel. So God began to move in that service, and I said, I want you to bring a sacrifice, an offering, whatever the pastor wants to do with the offering, I want you to just do it. And people came up, and those two ladies, the Lord spoke to me. I said, now you know who you are. The church knows who you are, the pastor. I said, throw your hands up, and you're going to be delivered. And boom, as soon as they threw their hands up, I never seen such wild acting women in my life. Because they were willing to step out of their comfort zone and say, okay, I'm not ashamed that I'm... The devil tormenting me to death with panic attacks, my heart palpitations, all these kind of things. Think I'm going to die in the middle of the night. And the devil is a liar and the father of every lie. And he wants to cheat me out of my blessing. And both of those ladies threw up their hands, and brother, people began to come to that altar and give. There was $33,000 laying on that altar. Well, that pastor was happy. I didn't mean to do that, but the Holy Ghost did. You see what I'm saying? I mean, so when we begin to do the things that God is pleased with and say, okay, I'm willing to walk by faith and not by sight, and I'm willing to be walking the divine channel of God, I don't need a GPS. Where do you want me, God? What ministry do you want me involved in? Where do you want me to be, God? I am not saying anything about moving churches and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about find the divine direction of the Holy Ghost for your life and quit living in just half in, half out, mediocre. Come on, somebody, get sold out. Get bought out. Get your mind made up, get your heart fixed, and get ready for a miracle. Hallelujah. I'm getting ready to close. I don't know what time you guys go home. 10 o'clock. Okay. Sister Mark, I know you've battled sick. Sister Portman, I know you've battled sickness. My wife has battled sickness for 20 years. Oh, she's taken enough steroids. We could probably put them, couldn't put them all in this building, as many steroids she's taken the last 20 years to breathe. And the devil jumps up on my shoulder, Pastor, and said, how you going to preach faith, man? I don't care what he says on my shoulder. He's a liar. He's the father of every lie, Brother Portman. And God's still on the throne, Sister Portman. He is well able to do exceedingly and abundantly. And so therefore, we get back to Tennessee. Vanderbilt says, okay, if you're going to save her toe, we're going to have to cut her second toe off. This is coming up now. Back just got fused November, and we drove 760 miles yesterday. I mean, for her to sit here tonight, it takes some grace to worship God. You got to keep walking when you don't feel like walking. I say, I don't feel it. My goosebump machine ain't working. It doesn't matter whether your goosebump machine is working. You got to praise Him anyhow and be faithful and worship God. And I am going to be faithful and praise Him and say, God, I'm going to stay in the divine channel of the Holy Ghost. So both those women were delivered. Pastor got up and he said, we've taken up a lot of pledges for new building, but stuff, I've never seen a cash offering like this. He said, I know this is of God. And since then, I think they've had 50 receive the Holy Ghost in the last 3 months. You see, that's flowing in the divine channel of God. Does anybody know you're blessed? Now, y'all worship Paul and go, how many of you really know you're blessed? You're not some stepchild and you're not some orphan. You're blessed of the Lord and highly favored of God. And God's got His hand on you. And God's not through with you. And God's... Come on, somebody, step up and shout amen. He's worthy of your praise. He's worthy of the shout of the Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. 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 Come on, has God ever come through for you financially? Has He ever come through for you physically? Has He ever come through for you emotionally? Then therefore, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to get in the divine channel of God and stay there and say, devil, you're not going to distract me now. Let's all stand. Church has had a few weeks ago, and I noticed it had a lot of young people in the church, and I noticed a lot of them, they were in prayer the whole time I was preaching. The Problem was they weren't in prayer, they were on their cell phone. So guess what I did? I took up all the cell phones in church. You say you're off the boat. Well, I'm 68 years old and I will be bold. And when the last cell phone was took up putting that offering, you talking about a move of God because people couldn't worry about who's going to text them. What's on Instagram? What's on Facebook? We don't even have to have the devil to distract us. All we need is Instagram, Facebook, and all the other garbage. I'm taking too much liberty here tonight. I'm sorry. It's crazy. I mean, if Jesus were to heal somebody of cancer tonight, is it more important than the Brewer score? I mean, I don't care what you had for supper. Help me, Jesus. I know I'm getting on a lot of younger people's calf rope here. I told my grandkids, one's 15, one's 13, I said, give me your cell phones and talk to me. We're going to ride 760 miles together. You know, a lot of kids don't even know how to talk to you. I'll talk to you, but I'll text you. A lot of kids text their parents because they don't even talk to them. What's that got to do with? Well, listen, it's about communicating with God. And it's about communicating with each other that the goodness of God leadeth men to repentance. I will tell you this, God has been good to this old guy. He's blessed me so many ways I could not even begin to imagine. I just wonder across this congregation, how many of you feel like God has been so good to you? Hebrews 11:8, by faith Abraham went and he knew not where he was going. Hebrews 11:8. I've heard my daddy preach against things so many times through my life. I've been sent to hell and back 400 times. I mean, my dad could preach on hell. I mean, when I was a kid, I was afraid to go to sleep because he preached so much on hell. I mentioned hell this morning in Waukesha, and I thought I was going to lose about 100 people. I said, everybody, just put your seatbelt back on because stay a while because I'm not going to preach on hell. But folks, there's still a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. I'm not living for God because I'm afraid of hell, but I'm living for God because God's been so good to me. Amen. So think about Paul for just a second. He said, where are you going, Paul? Well, I tell you, I think I'm going to be shipwrecked over here. I don't know if I'm going to get to there, but I mean, have you ever looked at them maps in the back of your Bible? I mean, it's kind of wild, isn't it? I don't know if I could ever do that. I'd be like me getting on a cruise ship and say, well, wherever y'all want to take me, that's where I want to go. Paul wasn't on no cruise ship. But thank God he was in the perfect will of God because he said, okay, God, wherever you want me to be, that's where I'm going to be happy at. So I've learned this much. Do I think I would ever do what I'm doing right now? Absolutely not. But I'm still seeing the supernatural like I've never seen it before. Because I believe my wife and I have stepped out in the perfect will of God for us. And therefore, God will say, okay, One more time. You're not worried about the GPS of your life. You're not worried about your final destination. Just go tell people of the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God and the greatness of God and the power of God and the glory of God. See, I had the privilege to be raised by a father that was a great man of faith. We never ate Thanksgiving till after 5 o'clock because Thursday was his fast day. You know, they don't change Thanksgiving because Paul Hook fasts on Thursdays. So every Thanksgiving it was always was eaten about dark. Because that was my dad's fast day. He didn't break it for 30 some odd years. That's why the night that he died, he laid hands on 150 some odd people and the Holy Ghost slayed every one of them. I'm not talking about pushing them over, spitting on them, or blowing them over. I'm talking about the power of God hitting people. Does anybody believe there's power in the name of Jesus Christ? So one of the things the Lord's dealt with me about, because my wife has been there, has been a chronic 20-year from osteoporosis to her feet have broken 25 times, I believe. The doctor looked at x-rays the other day and he said, is there any bone in your foot or in your ankles that hasn't fractured or broken? I said, I don't know. You know, she don't know. They break when she goes to Walmart. They break when we go to Home Depot. They break when wherever we go. But I promise you, you're not going to get her to come up here and say, God's not good. Some people, your boyfriend's mad at you. And, oh, God, I can't even praise him tonight. Folks, this thing is bigger than I am. It's greater than I am. So that woman has been faithful our 47 years of marriage, and I've seen her worship God. I've seen her back me up when I did awful preaching. And she'll say amen, and I'm blessed. So what I'm trying to say to you is that it doesn't matter your circumstances. You got to make it. You got to make it by your. You got to make it because you want to make it. I mean, you got to show up because you want to show up. You got to praise up because you want to praise up. You got to fast up because you want to fast up. I can only put so much pressure on you. Pastor can only put so much pressure. It's up to your heart after a while. Sorry for being so plain. I can twist your arm so much, and after a while, guilt will only take you so far. But let me tell you what: when you fall in love with your God, here's what I feel in the Holy Ghost, because I'm not afraid to tackle the devil. I want any of you that has battled a chronic sickness for a number of years, I want you to come first. Not that you can't come, but if you've battled a chronic sickness, I want you to step out first. And I don't care if you've been prayed for 4,716,000 times, God's still faithful. I want you to come real quickly. If you battle arthritis, diabetes. Folks, you say, well, Who are you? I'll tell you who I am. I am only a man, but I serve a great God. Now, folks, how many of you know these people have been prayed over many times? But how many of you know where two or three agree touching anything, that anything is possible? And so what I'd like to ask you to do, I'd like to ask everyone to step out of your seat, and I'd like to ask somebody that's full of faith, a brother to stand behind a brother, sister, at least one person to stand behind them as a point of contact, a point of, if you could step out of your seat, if you believe God with me. Come on, I'm going to ask you, even if you're a guest, step out of your seat. I want you to come and stand behind them. Put your hand on their shoulder for just a moment. Are you ready now? Jesus, I speak a word of faith in this room tonight, God. I come against chronic sicknesses. I come against diabetes. I come against fibromyalgia. I come against osteoporosis. I come against heart disease and cancer. Come on, church. Let out a praise unto the Lord. Let out a praise to the Lord. Everyone, lift up your hands. Lift up your voice. Lift up your spirit to the Lord. Come on, somebody, find somebody to pray with. Step out. Step into the divine. Step into the divine channel of God. Shamohoko. Yadabohoshandai. Yekobo sondolabohoshandai.